Welcome to Foundation and Family, the Erica Diaz Show, where real estate wisdom meets family life. I'm Erica Diaz, here to share stories, insights, and inspiration for building homes and nurturing hearts. Let's dive in together. Hey, everybody, I'm Erica with Foundation and Family, and I'm so excited because I love actually recording with this guest. So today I have...
You forget my name?
No, I know your name.
Already.
I know your name.
It's Obi Diaz, the husband. And already I feel like your chair is a little bit higher than mine. You did
it's
something.
Not,
you're either standing different.
Not. Just sit up straight. Okay, perfect. So we wanted to share some of the recent changes that our family has recently experienced. And we're pretty excited about them.
Yes, I know I'm being goofy right now. But the real is that if you've been tracking with our family, then you know that we adopted and we have Oliver, who now this year will be 4 years old. And we got him at 6 days old.
Yes.
Extraordinary, extraordinary experience. But we got to dial back to the way that he was brought into the world. I always like for you to explain this because I get into a twist of a tongue tie of how he was brought into the world.
Well, and I know that not all adoptive parents will be in the same mind frame as us, but right. We are very open with our journey and with what we have experienced. And our son is diagnosed FAS, which is fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So it's similar in kind to autism. It is caused by alcohol exposure during utero. And it is a spectrum. So it can be on this end or that end. They can be nonverbal. They can be aggressive. They can be all sorts of things. And fortunately for us, while we're on that spectrum, he is perfectly made and just perfect. But some of the things that we do experience with him, primarily the biggest problem is that he doesn't really love to sleep.
Yeah, and he's got high anxiety when things happen that are really noisy. So say a fire truck goes by or something in the house falls, like a set of pans or pots. He does kind of freak out. So we looked into, first of all, I just kind of want to stand on the standpoint of, even if a child is diagnosed with whatever it is that they're diagnosed with, I do feel like God can still come through and God can still heal that.
Sure, it can be healed, but also just having knowledge and power of resources, you can navigate through a very successful life with some of those disabilities.
Right. I just wanted to say that, though, because somebody out there who doesn't have resources, somebody out there is just living on hope. And there may never be the type of healing that we want to see.
Maybe not on this planet.
But for right now, with Oliver, all signs are he's the superstar of the family. So how do we continue to pour into him? He's got speech therapies. He's got different types of therapies. So this way we can stay on top of it. Erica, you did some research after close friends of ours kind of let us in on a story of dogs that were prepared to help with kids with high anxiety,
right?
Non-sleeping kids.
Right. And there are alternatives to what we chose. One of them is going to a drug, but we discussed it and we wanted to see if we could prolong that
To be honest, as much as I even love melatonin, I love melatonin. I think at a certain point we were giving it to all of our kids at different stages. And then even with Oliver, I think we stopped giving him melatonin as much because I know for me, I have the fear that he's going to build up.
Right. But I think from the time we had our first kid to the time we had our fourth kid, I don't think melatonin was recommended as much. And it had been linked to some things in just neurological things. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not pretending to be. I'm just trying to raise my four kids the best that I can. So the drug of choice in this capacity, since he doesn't sleep, I believe it's clonidine, which is similar to Xanax. And I might have that wrong again. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert. But we didn't want to go that route.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, especially with them at such a young age, you're exposing them to these chemicals that, quite frankly, I'm just going to be honest, they're man-made. We only know so much about them. And then we inject them into our kids. And so anyways, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
And just dialing it back again, we already know he's going to have a higher predisposition because, unfortunately, he was born exposed to more than just alcohol, and he had to withdraw through that. So we know that the predisposition exists. So if we can just kind of keep that at bay for a little bit, we are hopeful that maybe that's something we don't have to do. So as we were journeying through what life looks like as an adoptive parent or a parent of a child that may have not have been exposed but still doesn't really sleep well, we came across some other options because some other friends had done it, and we talked about getting a service dog. So I remember calling you. I was pacing outside the YMCA out in Dr. Phillips, and I said, you know, this can be very pricey, and it's a dog, and is this going to help us? But at that point, I think I was really at my wit's end. I am just exhausted a lot because he doesn't sleep. He slept seven full nights where he didn't wake up. He's going to be four this year. So I really like to sleep. I don't know about you guys, but I like to sleep. I know you like to sleep. You were super upset that I asked you to shoot this during your nap time.
Because I only get 4 hours a night.
Right. Interrupted.
And I try to nap in the middle of the day. So here we are in the middle of the day shooting a podcast.
Sorry, but I love you. Thank you for doing this.
No, it's no problem. I mean, what we're talking about is important because here we are with the service dog. Her name is Panda. And so Panda is trained to do deep pressure therapy. And that is the way that I described it, because I talked about this on my morning show, is I said that she is to help high anxiety humans by leaning on them, by providing comfort, by providing company, physical pressure.
Yeah.
And so so she is trained. She's trained to sit there by Oliver's side as he sleeps. Yeah. She's trained. She's even done it to us a couple times. It's been funny. Where, and you missed the last workout that we had, but as a team, it was Zach, myself, Kennedy, and every single time one of us went down to do our planks, she went down to put her paw on us as if we were, well, and I guess she can feel that we were in a stage of high emotions, you know, just working out. And it was just funny to see her come over. And in the beginning, I didn't know what she was doing. I was like, hey, everything's okay. And I was like, oh, she thinks that we're undergoing some sort of physical
turmoil.
Yeah, turmoil, that we need company. And so anyways, that's what she's trained to do for Oliver. And when I spoke about this on the air, I spoke about the importance of, for anyone out there who is looking for help in any way, there are grants out there. There are programs out there.
Let's talk about that, because that their grants and programs are a little bit different. And the reason I bring this up is because we looked for grants and that was very challenging. But what there are companies or organizations that will create dogs and put them through their program.
Well, and I'm not just talking about dogs. I'm talking about organizations that help with wheelchairs, organizations that help with all sorts of things. I guess what I was talking about was the umbrella idea that you actually did the research.
Right.
And someone out there can do the research and find those places out there that donate these things.
Right.
And that help.
And you can apply for a service dog locally and domestically. And I believe the organizations that I looked into, and this is not what we did, but what happens is the applicant or the beneficiary needs to be 5 years of age, and then it's about a 2-year waiting period. So that would have put Oliver at 7, and I'm going back to the I need sleep today. So when we made this decision, it was several months ago, probably 8 months ago, and we found an organization that trains them, and you can pay for them out of pocket, unfortunately. But when they matched us with a dog, one of the first dogs they went to match us with, his name was Toby. And so as we got through the application process, we kind of got denied on that one because your name is
Obi.
And they felt
that would be incredibly confusing to the dog.
Right. And so when they matched us with Panda, I remember going through what Oliver's needs were and what that looked like. And he's already a big guy. And we wanted her for pressure therapy and to cover and to kind of help him feel secure and safe. They said, her name is Panda today. You have 24 hours basically to change her name because of her age. And then after that, it's not an option anymore. And then I think we asked the kids, like, do you like the name Panda? And everyone's like,
she's white and black. Yeah. It made sense. Yeah.
Everyone was like, okay, so Panda. It's Panda. Yeah. But it's funny now, having had a service dog, I personally have approached service dogs in public and been like, oh, can I pet your dog? And the reality behind that, now having one, is that they are trained to really not acknowledge other humans so that they can integrate into society seamlessly and not as a distraction. And right. they can, and they're also trained like to go to a restaurant and sit on the ground and lay and not be looking for food and not be like ravenous or like a little scoundrel. So feeding that dog a treat from the table or what have you, it really does kind of undo a lot of the training that they've gone through. And I flew out to Washington State. I got her and then I flew her back and then we immediately went on a family vacation. The ideal situation would have been the family go out and train for a week, but right. some things came up on the breeder side, on our side, that made that impossible. So we had to reroute at the last minute and we got her and we brought her back here, but we went to the beach and one day it rained. And so we decided to take the kids to Urban Air. And I was actually pretty surprised at how many people just walked up and pet her and didn't ask anything. And she really doesn't acknowledge other people. She stays forward. She doesn't really look at you.
I mean, she's pretty stoic.
She is stoic.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And there happened to be a woman behind me in line, and up in Destin, there is some military stuff up there. And the woman behind me said, as a fella is petting her, and she said to me, do they recommend petting your service dog? And I looked at her. I said, no, they don't. But we're new to this. The guy was kind. It's hard. It's a weird conversation. Yeah. And so the guy looked at me and he said, oh, she's a service dog. I said, I mean, that's what it says on her vest and everything, but neither here nor there. So he said, well, why can't I pet her? And I said, well, the funny thing that I'm learning is that she's been trained to not engage with you, so that she's here to provide a service to this little guy. And it's important that she continues to know that role, and this just kind of like desensitizes her to that. And the woman behind me chimed in, which I really appreciated her actually. She said, on the base, we're not even allowed to approach any of the service dogs, because a lot of folks on the base have service dogs and they have been trained and they are very stoic, and you are not even allowed to approach them or acknowledge them. So I get it now, having had one.
Yeah. But to your point, it's hard to tell somebody that, especially with us being new at this, seeing somebody's excitement. I mean, I'm excited when I see a dog, you know, yeah. And to be honest, we're probably going to have to put the vest on her a lot more. We've not been putting the vest on her because she's got a service dog leash, and, yeah. you know, all of it is legit. But the problem is just I don't think people read the leash. I think you have to have the vest on for them to really get that the animal's working. And that's hard. That's hard to explain. So, I mean, I don't know how to do it appropriately, which I'm glad that we're going to be doing continued education.
Right. Back here with the whole family.
That was something that we strongly wanted, was as soon as the dog, because we didn't get that time with the dog in Washington.
Right.
It was important for us to know that, okay, we're going to do this as a family, but more importantly, Oliver's got to train with her.
Right.
She needs to look at Oliver as if Oliver is the commander in chief of the family. Right now she's grown this attachment to you because of the traumatic events of leaving her mom / trainer.
And her mom and her sister.
Yeah. Right. Her fur mom and her fur sister.
And they're still back there. And the sister is staying for a while and the mom is staying indefinitely. So she had been raised, she's a year. So it's not like she's an 8-week old puppy that we just flew out and got. So she left her handler, trainer, and her
all in a few hours. Yeah, and then she had to get on a plane.
Yeah.
Then she came from a state that it was snowing.
Right.
To a state where we put her in sand.
Yes. We did.
So, yeah, that would be traumatic for anybody. That would be traumatic for any human, even leaving their family. And so we are we're excited to continue the education process, not only for us, but for her and Oliver.
Yeah.
I can't wait, because already she's by far the best behaved dog that we've ever had.
Sure. Well, and let's talk about that flight because it was so funny. I think as we were going through security, I was actually more nervous than her. She stayed right by my right side, right in her designated spot. They searched her and I for whatever reason. And I mean, thank you, TSA, for doing your job and keeping us safe. We appreciate it. So we get through and I'm thinking, is she going to throw up on the plane or is she going to poop? Like, these are just bodily functions that babies do.
Sure.
And, you know, we're sitting on the tarmac. You know, the fella next to me doesn't look excited about this. He does not look happy.
Well, because she does take up space, even though she lies beautifully. Like right now, she's lying beautifully right there.
Yes, she is.
And at a restaurant, she will sit right in between. It's not like she's out where the waiter or waitress is going to trip over her. Like, she knows to sit right. I mean, her training is pretty on point.
Yeah.
She's we just want to make sure that it stays like that.
Right. But so we get on that flight and we're getting ready to take off. And they said, you know, make sure you tell her good girl, give her a treat when you're taking off because it's a new sensation. Now, she has been on flights before, but she's not going every day. So I did good girl, good girl. And then she laid down and settled down and just flew and, I mean, was perfect. So even the fella next to me at the end of that flight, who he was not very friendly for the very there was no conversation. He was like this with his jacket. He looked at me and said, well, she was really excellent. And I said, thank you. And then we got off that plane. But I was more worried about the travel and then walking through the airport. So many people have dogs and they've got vests on them and they don't necessarily say service dog, but those dogs, it was funny to see them. They're like pulling on leashes and stuff like that. And I'm not judging anybody for traveling with their animal or having a dog.
Sure.
But it was really eye-opening to watch her stay right by my side, do exactly as she was told. And it was funny because even when we were at the beach, we're walking from the room down to the beach, she's right there. She's doing exactly – and I'm like, Oliver is like – I was like, she's so much easier than the toddler.
Well, and even with our past dogs, like we've put our past dogs in real canine training. And and to see her right now, just her trainer did a fantastic job.
Yeah. So now as we integrate her and Oliver, we kind of knew that she would be my service dog because I was the one getting her. But we've got to get that shifted over to Oliver now.
And yeah, because he's puppy's not going to be sleeping with you. I call her puppy. She's huge. I wish we could.
We'll get
a shot of her in here. But yeah, she's big. And that bond with her and Oliver, that we got to make that soon because you guys are –
yeah, well, but you got to remember, he is 3.5, so we just need him to really show interest in her. And this morning, actually, when we were getting ready to leave the house, he said, I want to hug Panda Puppy. And I'm like, yeah, you do. So went and got treats, gave him treats. I was like, give her treats and give her a hug. And she's very stoic. She's happy to have a hug. She's happy to be with him. So just fostering and facilitating that relationship, because at the end of the day, her human is a miniature human, so it probably is a little bit harder for her than, I mean, you and I would be much easier to cling to because we're not jumping and screaming and accidentally stepping on her. And he hasn't yet, but I mean, he's 3.5.
But I'm excited to see her when she's 5 years old and he's what, 6, 7, 8, 9? When he's, I'm excited to see that friendship at that point.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm not excited about, you know, provided that God gives her plenty of years, I'm not excited for the day that he's 16, 17.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that.
But anyways, that's what we hope for this animal, is that we hope that this animal's a good family member for a long time, but an interesting family member, because I even said this on the air where I said, this isn't going to be the type of dog that we're going to be able to play fetch with. This isn't the type of dog that in the past, like I've been able to wrestle with our past dogs. I cannot do that with this dog. This dog doesn't like it. This dog, as a matter of fact, is still trying to get to know men, me, my son, Zach.
She did take a liking to females better, but the handler has a husband, so I know she was around men, but the handler, the trainer, was a woman.
If that was her full-time gig, then she probably...
And her daughter, who is an adult woman who has a child, she was around, I think, the trainer's daughter and then their baby, because obviously we knew she was coming to a family with a baby. So she did a lot of, we have lots of videos with her with a 1-year-old, maybe 2-year-old. He's young and he's climbing all over her and she's very tolerant. And it's funny, when she's tired of it, she just kindly gets up and slips away in the video and she's like, okay, I'm done with you for the moment. So she's very tolerant too.
Is that what people are doing to me in conversations? I feel like people slip away. Yeah. I feel like they're like, but I'm done with you.
Haven't you seen those like reading the room, like books or conversations? If the toes pointed out, they want out of the conversation. So you need to watch body language. If you see toes pointed out, they want out of the conversation.
Well, let's pivot to taking her to Destin, because we took a little trip to the beach.
We did.
And taking her, that was the family's first time experiencing what it was like to go into a restaurant and for the restaurant to say, we don't allow dogs. And then for us to have to engage in the, okay, so how do we not sound snooty? Here's the last thing I want to sound like is, pardon me, she's a service dog. She's allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what statute, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. I want to go into this where... And it's going to happen because we've already gotten better at it, is slipping just an easy sentence that's like,
and if any like, of you out there have good, savvy ways to handle that, please leave a comment, because it's something new that we're journeying through. And even immediately when we booked our Airbnb, it says who's coming. It says adults, children, pets. And then it says right under it, are you traveling with a service animal? Do not elect yes. So because I am new to this and because I really don't want an owner to be upset with us, I messaged one owner directly and said, hey, Airbnb does not require that we notify you of a service pet, but I feel like that's the common decent thing to do. We would have a service dog with us that has a contract, all the good jazz. Is that okay? And the way I understand it at this moment, and I can be wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, but she is protected by ADA, so the answer is she is allowed to go no matter what if it's listed on Airbnb. However, this owner responded back to me and said, I'm sorry, we don't allow pets in this location. And instead of me being that Karen and being like, but I just said, you know what? On to the next. There's a thousand places to stay. I don't want to deal with that. Now I found another one that we ended up staying at. Messaged that owner, said the same thing. He said, listen, there are no pets allowed here, but service pets are permitted under ADA. As long as you have X, Y, and Z, and you can provide that when you check in, we're happy to have you.
Yeah.
And so the way he approached it and responded to me, albeit they don't allow pets there, it felt more warm and welcoming, and it felt like we were going to be able to have a conversation. So we ended up staying with that owner, and he was great. And so when we got there, we checked in the condo's place. They did ask for like her license number, her rabies, and like a contract on her, which we have. And we had brought that because we knew that we might need it.
It's good.
Now, fast forward, getting into everything, they said she is, after she got registered, she got a little green lanyard kind of thing that went on her for that community. And then they said she's allowed to go anywhere. Make sure you curb her poop, pick up after her. And her behavior will dictate if she's allowed to be here or not, because that's really one of the deciding factors of, is the service dog actually providing a service, or are they a nuisance? So we did get stopped several times there in the pool area, at the playground, and they did come up and say, I'm sorry, she's not allowed here. And working through that response and not sounding like a jerk is something that we have to practice. And I will say the very last day, a security guard came up and said, hey, you're not allowed to have a pet in here. I said, hey, we did register her with the office. She is a service pet. She was sitting perfect. She wasn't doing anything. She wasn't being a nuisance. He said, oh, I didn't see. So then he drove off. He was really kind. But then he came back while we were getting in the car And he said, hey, I'm going to give you my cell phone because if you have any other issues, you can just call me and I'll get it cleared. And I said, oh, I really appreciate that. We're actually checking out right now. So we just came to let the kids run around the playground before we got in the car for 6 hours.
But that's because the response that we gave him, I think, was full of so much love, full of like, we are really experiencing this for the first time. We're very genuine with our responses. And I think people like that. And I think that's why they've been extra arms open wide to now. Not everyone's going to be like that, and that's going to be okay. We're going to have to learn how to take those hits and also be able to say, okay, well then this place just won't get our business and we'll just have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but I think in 2024, when you can falsify documents very easily anywhere, the general public is probably slightly abused, because I remember months ago we went to the circus, and for us to take Oliver to the circus, we either knew this was going to go really bad or it was going to be great. And, you know, he's
already high anxiety,
right?
Lights, the sounds, I mean, everything. Yeah. We were like, okay, we hope that this is going to work.
So we're standing in line, and there is a woman in a wheelchair that has a dog that's got a service dog vest on, and that dog was jumping and pawing and jumping. And so we're already in a stressful environment heading into this line with Oliver, and we're in it, and she happens to be behind us, and this dog is bouncing and jumping. And I'm already high anxiety at this moment because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is getting worse. And we haven't even gotten into the circus. And so I looked at you and I thought, or I said, if our service dog acts like that, I don't want it, because this isn't helping anything.
It'd be worse than a kid, than an extra kid.
It would be worse than an extra kid. it was very intense in that moment. And so, in my opinion, that service dog was not trained, and it was maybe an emotional support dog for that human, and I love that for them, but it was more chaotic in that moment for me and my kid than it would have been had it been Panda, because Panda is not going to jump on you. Panda doesn't jump on furniture. She doesn't get on beds. She is just right there for those times where we need that pressure therapy for him. So it's a new world for us to navigate.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, and I hope it works out well, and I don't know.
Yeah. So what have you done to further the training? Because that's going to be the next thing that we're going to have to do together as a family. I'm asking these questions already knowing some of the answers, but just for the sake of the show, so this way I can bring it into the context, have you reached out to somebody who is probably even recommended by our trainer?
So I got super excited. I was on the phone with you, and we were driving. It was right. We had just gotten her. We were about to head out to Destin, but we had a day or two there in between. And I was driving in downtown Winter Garden, where we live, and there was just 30 service dogs. And they had their humans with them, and they had their vests on and their little shoes on. And I was like, I have to pull over. I have to go meet these people. And I was so excited. So I pulled in the parking lot. I got Panda out. She was not too excited in the moment. She was very, I think I was too excited for her. So she was like, woo. And so I ran over and I'm like, what's happening here? And they were like, we're all here with service dog trainings. And she didn't have her vest on. She just had her leash on. And I was like, we need to further our training. And I don't know what that looks like. We have some names to call, but we just got back. And so they gave me like the leader of the organization, and she kind of asked me some questions. And she's very advanced for their program, but they can still continue her education. But that looks like them coming out. We wouldn't do as much group training with her right now, because that group training was for a little bit more entry-level service dogs. And there are different groups, but that is someone that we did reach out to, and they are going to come to the house and give her an evaluation. And they just start with like basic training at first, because sit, lay, walk on a leash, you know, those kind of things that not every dog does properly. And some dogs are better than others. But I was so excited when I got out and saw that. And then I was like, does she need shoes? Like, it's all the things running through my head, like, what else does Panda need?
So that's been fun too. Back on the family side, is to see the kids get excited. Like, I know when we went to the pet store, Kennedy, who, by the way, Panda loves Kennedy too.
Oh, yeah.
So Kennedy's our oldest daughter, 13. And so Kennedy wanted to get shoes. Kennedy said, oh, she's going to need a visor. Oh, she's going to need a special. Yeah. I mean, she was going down this list, and I said, wait. We need to find out first what she really needs.
And what she is used to having, because we want to stay as consistent with what training she was already provided. But it is exciting to have a dog again, because we haven't had one in a long time, and the kids are excited and everyone's excited. But it's fun. So we will continue her training back here. And if you guys have recommendations of trainers in the area that you just rave about, we are still pursuing that. We haven't decided exactly which trainer we're going to use, but we are definitely open to suggestions. Or if you guys have any tips, I think we're definitely open to that, because this is a new territory for us.
Yeah, I'm all about learning how to do this the smoothest way possible. So, I mean, even you know, even advice on how you made it work so easy. I think we already said that earlier. Like, if there were things that you just say automatically that get people to like, oh, interesting. Yeah. And then another thing too, is that what we learned through the process, and this is great for you to see, is that service dogs shouldn't be approached like a regular dog. You should probably approach the owner first, if it's even okay, because that dog on duty, that dog does have a task. And every single time we let somebody say hello to her, I think she keeps getting like, am I allowed to? And what's going on here, guys?
I think one other thing that I've kind of come to realize is that if that owner tells you, no, I'm sorry, she's working, he's working,
be cool with it.
It's not about you. And it wasn't about, it's just not about you. It's about them. And so they're getting approached so often, because they're so cute. So when I've gotten a little bit better about, I'm sorry, she is actually working right now. And most people are okay with that. But I guess I think I took it personally when I would approach, I approached many service dogs and I was like, oh, can I pet them? Don't do it. So I took it personally, like they didn't want me to touch their dog. It's not about you. It's about what they've been trained to do. And it's so that they can continue to do their job and not be so confusing, because at the end of the day, they still are a dog. I also think there is working times and non-working times. And I know we took her to the dog park and she was not in her vest. She was not in her leash. And she presumes that to be in off working times. And at that point, she can be approached and she acts like a dog and she's running around and jumping and playing and stuff like that. So I think it just because they're a service dog doesn't mean that they can't be loved on. Okay. Well, on that note, I think we can close it out. But thank you for joining us. And if you have any comments or questions, oh, here comes a little nose. There she is. If you have any comments or questions, please leave them down below and we'll get back to you. Make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the like button and follow us for more. Until next time.